is now in her 80s and who used to live in the Plotikus area, they were close friends, close neighbors with my parents and aunts, you know. And she told me something very interesting. She said, you know, when you were born, when you were a baby, your mummy used to bring you over to our house, because my elder sister was a good friend of your mom's.
Uh-huh. I don't think you mentioned this story.
And, and she said, all my sisters and I, we all fought among themselves to carry you.
Oh!
She said, because I told her it was a new toy. Yeah? She said, one would carry her and then the other one would say, okay, enough. Then my turn now. And, you know, they would bust me around. Yeah? And they were very good, close neighbors. Till today, she remembers them.
Yeah.
And I told her that I would go and see her in the home later, another day, and bring some photographs to show her
of the
auntie that she knew.
Oh, who's this?
This picture, this is my father.
Oh, okay.
And this is the sister who came down.
Uh-huh.
Her name, her sister.
So this is your aunt, your father's sister?
My father's elder sister, one of them. And this is her daughter. And that's me, and that's my second sister.
Uh-huh. And you in the little bonnet on the left.
Uh-huh. All the headgear made my father's brother-in-law. You see the lovely hat she was wearing? All these, this was what they used to make before.
Yeah, who's the woman on the left?
That's my mom.
Oh.
How pretty she was, huh?
Yeah.
Real mem, real... Yeah. So elegantly dressed.
So this must be your cousin?
That's my cousin. Mm. And then now, there's no photo of this auntie because when she went back, she passed away.
Oh,
you see? So the other auntie who came with them was this one.
Okay.
She must have been in her 80s then, by now.
The one with the green dress.
Yes. And this is one of the sons who was here, the second son.
Okay.
He was here as a boy.
Oh.
Anyway. And this...
So this... The auntie in this old photograph and the one in the green dress both lived with...
Yeah.
Those were the two sisters father...
Came. They all came to Malaysia, is it?
Uh-huh.
And this is the wife of this auntie's eldest son.
Mm.
This one. See, this is a guy.
Uh-huh.
He was the eldest in the family.
Uh-huh.
And there's the mom just now, the auntie who
the
was
mom
here.
On the left.
Uh-huh. And his wife. There's a clearer picture here.
Yeah.
And these are the sisters. The surviving sisters at the time this picture was taken. This one, this was the oldest. This one, and then this one. This one is this auntie. The auntie came to Penang.
Oh, okay.
This is the youngest.
Okay.
I think... I'm not sure whether she's still around. The last trip we went, she would be in her 90s now.
These photos were taken where?
In the Philippines.
In the Philippines, when you visited.
No. This was taken by, I think, my father when he went.
Oh, okay.
When he went there, well, I'm not sure what year, in the 80s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And this auntie lived to almost 100.
Mm. One of your father's sisters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They were very well to do when they, you know, it was a good thing that they did go back to the Philippines when they did. At least they had better opportunities then. And then so the families did well, the children did well, and if they had stayed here, perhaps it would have been very hard for them.
Was it ever an option for your family to go to the Philippines, just like your aunts and cousins did?
Okay.
Was it ever an option for your family to go to the Philippines?
No. I mean, my father never thought of bringing us back there to live there and grow up there.
Do you think it's because your mother had ties in Penang?
Yes. And I think my father liked staying in Penang.
Mm.
I guess maybe if he had gone back, it would have been hard for him also to start any kind of a business or to be employed or anything like that. You know? And... But he did try to send my youngest brother, the youngest in the family, to live there, to study there, you know, to study there.
Oh.
And grow. But it just didn't come about.
Yeah.
I guess my mom wouldn't allow it. Mm. Being the youngest, mm-hmm. the baby of the family. This is one of my, that auntie who came to Penang, one of the children she had when she went back to the Philippines.
Mm.
One of the younger girls.
Mm-hmm.
This one here is another family. This is the eldest son. The eldest son of Tommy. Sorry, I must mention names again. This guy.
Okay.
His eldest son and the wife.
Okay.
And this is the youngest daughter.
Uh-huh.
The youngest daughter now. This is another. This is. I think this is her brother. My cousin's brother. But I guess the best picture to have would be this one. Now these were all later now. This is our youngest auntie, my father's younger sister, and the niece. And this is the one who did well. The eldest son of the family that came to Malay Penang. When they went back, he worked very hard, and he just prospered. And this is his office.
Oh, okay.
He owned an oral, as I think mentioned earlier, an oral dental care company. And now his children have taken over. He passed away. Passed away in 1996, I think. And these are all photos of the younger generation. They always have, whenever they have a party.
Yeah, there's a lot of food.
Lots of people, lots of food. You know, just the family members is enough to fill a hall.
Yeah.
So, it's always a family affair. Actually, most of them are not familiar to me because I met them only years later.
Yeah.
So I thought, this was
a picture. Yeah, I like that photo. Yeah, that old
the picture that
sepia
you'd be,
photo.
You'd be interested in.
Yeah. And who are these?
Now.
These pictures?
Look.
Wow. So old, it has the scalloped edge.
Yeah. These photos are taken ages. That's me.
Is that you? Oh, that's adorable.
You look at that. Look at the costume that I was wearing.
Yeah, this is a Filipino costume.
Yeah,
it's kind of plaid. It looks a little modern.
It is actually, I think it was made of pineapple fiber.
Oh, yes.
You know?
You can't wash the pineapple fiber.
Yeah, very difficult. Yeah. And this one, when I was 7, the dress was sent by my auntie.
From the Philippines?
The auntie went back, and that was later when they sent it to me, and a photo taken there.
Oh, that's cool. How old were you in this first photo with the plaid?
I'm not. Let me see.
Traditional
the date
dress.
Behind. I think I was about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Maybe 3. And if you notice, the ribbon, the ribbon features in the on the head of every little girl.
Yeah. It's a very big ball.
Yeah. It's a little. It's a. You know, it is an accessory.
Yeah.
And you notice here too. See right on the top.
Yeah.
There's another one. There's another picture of the two of the aunties. This is the one who came to Malaysia, Penang, and then went back. And this is the youngest one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her daughter.
Mm. Altogether, your aunts were in Penang for how long, would you say?
I don't know. I really never really asked them.
Yeah.
So because I don't know when exactly they came.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that they must have left in around 1947 or so, 47.
Yeah, 48. Like a little after the war.
Would be after now. This then you know this picture that shows my this little sister here. She must have been about 1 plus. So they must have left after she was born. She was born in 46. And so it must have been about 48, around, yeah, either 47, 48.
Yeah, you said your dad came around 1936.
Around that, I think so.
So they're probably here about almost 15 years.
36,
or, about 10 years.
10 odd years.
Yeah.
Maybe 12. I think that's my guess, because nobody has told me how long they were here. That's that. And there was another, okay, that's my father's side. I want to show you something. Ah, that's my father and his sisters.
Wow, he is so young.
That time he was a boy in the Philippines. So it's just taken in the look at the picture. It's all.
Yeah, it's him and he had six sisters.
This,
were they all his sisters?
I think that was only part.
Part. Was he the only boy?
No, he had several brothers. Very much older. And by the time he actually made his first trip back to the Philippines in 1971.
Yeah.
After his aunt, his sisters went back and so on, he never had a chance to go back. Well, didn't have the money to go back then and the means. And the only contact he had was that nephew.
Yeah.
And he went back in 1971.
Yeah.
You know? So by which time he had been told many of his older brothers had passed away.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah. Fascinating photo.
Mm. Now, this is another picture of...
Where they used to work.
Yes,
Diamond. Where your mom and dad met.
For those who were there at that time, they would know. Daimaru was Whiteways. The British department store, Whiteways.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? And then when the Japanese came and took over, they changed it to Daimaru. And this is information I got from this lady in the home.
Mm.
You know, she's in the 80s, and she's the one who was the neighbor in Olotikus. Huh?
Was this taken during the war?
This was taken when the Japanese were more settled here, I guess, and they took over things. If you see, the name was changed from Whiteways to Daimaru.
Yeah.
And look at the staff, they had quite a big one. So my father and my mother somewhere inside there.
Wow, and you have a copy of that photo.
Mm. My mom kept it all these years.
Yeah.
This must be at least, let me see now. Must be at least 72, 73, 74 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm. So you see, when you have old pictures, photos,
yeah,
we should keep them. Yeah, we never know when we want to take a look at them. And this is when we were little. We were only three children then.
Matching outfits.
Mm. All these were sewn by my mom. You see, my mom was, when she started sewing, when she realized that, well, it started as a hobby, as out of necessity, not hobby, sewing for us. And she would sew. You know, sometimes when we were little, about this age, we would go to church like that, in a uniform.
Oh.
All the same pattern.
Yeah.
And that's how good she was, you know, from someone who never did a stitch, who didn't even know how to boil water.
Yeah.
And she became so efficient. She was so good at it.
Huh. Is this your communion? Confirmation?
Yeah, that's my first communion picture.
Huh.
Oh, I look terrible then.
No, you look...
Oh my God, at that time, you know, the nuns used to make us have
you
to
look
wear
great.
Head
yeah.
long clothes.
How big was the Catholic Church in Penang when you were growing up?
I don't know.
Like, do you remember your church being as big as it is now?
Well, the building itself is the same. We used to go to the Assumption Church because it was the nearest church from where we live.
Yeah.
And
the
community was big,
yeah.
I would say. Of course, it included the nuns from the convent. And all that.
Do you know how Catholicism came to Penang?
Actually, that goes back a long... that's a long history about it. And the Eurasian community, if you get a chance to speak to the Eurasian community, they will be able to tell you that. In fact, a few months back, there was an enactment, like a pageant,
mm-hmm.
where they, where it, well, during the celebration of the 200th anniversary of the Church of the Assumption,
mm-hmm.
how the first Catholics came to Penang.
Mm.
That, I think there is a video on sale on that,
uh-huh.
or there's a book or something.
Yeah,
you know. Unfortunately, on that day when it was staged,
yeah,
I don't know. I was away, I think, and yeah, I missed
yeah.
it. You know,
yeah.
it would have been very good. It was very, very good history of it.
So, would you say the Catholic community was pretty established when you were a child? It wasn't.
By the time I was in Penang, it was. It was because there was this community in Pulau Tikus. Mm-hmm. There was this community in town.
Okay.
In and a lot of the Catholics stayed behind the church in August Lane.
Okay.
There was a group of Eurasians. The houses,
yeah.
They lived in houses along that road.
Eurasians with lineage from Portugal?
Portuguese.
Uh-huh.
From Portuguese, Thai.
Uh-huh.
Burmese descent.
Oh.
That I don't know much yeah. about it because I'm not in that community.
Yeah.
But I when I speak to my friends and all that, they tell me, and not just bits and pieces here, but it would be for you, it would be very interesting if you could get the this book on the 200th anniversary of the of the Assumption Church of this area, of the Catholic community in Pulau Tikus, because and involve a lot of the Eurasians.
Yeah. So was the ethnic background of most of the members of the Catholic Church, were they Eurasian? Do you remember growing
well,
up?
Well, Eurasians comes the word Eurasian comes about, was coined when a European, a white person yeah. married an Asian.
Yeah.
And they were called Eurasians.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, the first people who came, they were running away from persecution in
yeah.
Thailand, and they came up north in Kedah area. They were more of Thai, like I said, Portuguese, Thai, Burmese descent of lineage. You know? So I guess after when they came here and they intermarried and so on, they were called Eurasians.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So, yeah, I'm... So were there a lot of like ethnic Chinese or Indians who were part of the Catholic Church when you were a child? Do you remember?
At that time, there were not many.
Yeah.
Because the Chinese, I would say many were converts.
Yeah.
You know, I guess through the, but then again, the local people who were Buddhists and so on, through intermarriage,
yeah, yeah
they
yeah.
became Catholics. Some were converts. And Indians, very few. There were a lot of Ceylonese. Ceylonese were the,
mm-hmm.
who are now Sri Lankans. They were Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were Buddhists mm-hmm. and Hindus. But the Chinese people, more like majority of them were either became Catholics to intermarriage
mm-hmm.
or their own conversion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to go and show this to the auntie. Now, this is the this is another picture I wanted to show you.
Yeah.
This is the Filipino family, Filipinos. Some, right, who were during the time I was, I think this ones have been in the 50s.
Yeah.
Maybe early 50s. These people were from Singapore.
Mm.
So
Filipinos from Singapore.
So when the thing is, you know, you tend to want to be able to meet your own
yeah.
people,
mm-hmm.
your own race. So when these people came and then, very few Filipinos, easy to find them at that time, not now.
Yeah.
And these people came and somehow they made contact with my father.
Yeah.
I know this man was a pretty prominent person. This mm-hmm. one, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a, look at that lovely outfit.
Yeah, the barons.
Filipino cause. This is also another Filipino family.
Yeah.
These were the father, the son and the daughter. I know he has passed away. Well, he also passed away quite young. I don't know about her. They were living in KL. He was also a milliner. He made hats also.
Oh, okay.
You know, to, for a living.
Yeah.
And they came as visitors at that time. Yeah. Just visiting Penang. Actually, this guy is related to my father distantly. So he invited them over, and then these are, this, I think that's my father, and this lady,
yeah.
She was the host of these people.
Mm-hmm. Is this your mother's family?
Now this is my mother's family. This is my, not my mother's family, rather my, her sister, my mother's elder sister,
mm-hmm.
and her, his, her family, sorry.
Oh,
so cool. Mm. These pictures are not interesting because they are what we want to see is the old pictures when we have of yesteryears. This is what the house is looked like. The house we lived in. See this huge gate.
Oh,
every night we had to
the
close
one on Penang Road.
Yeah, and this area is where we all used to congregate. All the children from around the neighborhood. Mixed.
It looks so different now.
Yeah, it's all like, definitely. It's a nightclubby place, yeah. And all that, you know.
So I.
The Church of the Assumption.
Yeah.
I think I need to lend this picture because they are to the city parish.
Yeah.
They are trying to collect old photos.
Uh-huh.
Take copies of them in order to I think they are either they are want to put it into a book or something.
Yeah,
anyway,
some
they ask about
yeah.
they ask for them and they will scan them and then return them.
And this
communion,
is communion, your first communion?
No, not me, my second sister.
Oh, your second sister.
That's they were.
Oh, so you're not in this photo.
Mm, they all stand at one, that means they were about 6 to 7 years old.
There's quite a few of the six girls, two of them look European.
Yeah, at that time there were quite a few British girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, quite a few of them. They lived there, they were boarders in the convent.
Mm.
Mm. I remember this girl very well. This one, she is now living in New Zealand.
Okay.
She came recently when her sister passed away. This one I'm not sure.
Oh, her sister stayed in Penang.
This one is living in the States.
Okay.
This one, off and on, I meet her. No. See, look at the way the nuns had to dress when they first came here. It was so hot.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to wear clothes like that.
Yeah.
It must have been such a great sacrifice for them. But they were very, very good teachers.
Yeah.
They really taught us, what do you call it? Intrinsic values.
Mm.
You know? More values was more important than the... just gaining of knowledge, making us well-rounded, rounded personalities. So that's my mom when she was young. Look at that!
Wow, beautiful. Yeah.
See what I mean when I say she was so genteel, and she couldn't even kill an ant when she stepped on it. Look at how lovely she was dressed. And that's the way rich families dress their daughters.
Yeah.
It's all the dangling. These all dangling, they're not costume jewelry. No.
Yeah, real
gold. Still had them now, diamonds, precious stones. Mm-hmm. If you had them now, they would cost a few hundreds of thousands. All the dangling earrings. Just one, this one, for example. This one.
Yeah.
Just one piece. This one I showed a friend. And she was telling me because her mother also...
Mm-hmm.
came from a rich Chinese family.
Yeah.
And she told me that this was, in those days, it was called raindrops.
Oh.
Raindrops. And she said her mom gave it to one piece. Not her mom, sorry. Her mom had passed away. Her father gave one side of it to the first son's wife.
Mm.
Well, the first son who got married, rather.
Yeah.
And at that time, that would be about 20, 30 years ago,
yeah.
Just one side of that would have cost 10,000 ringgit.
Wow.
So now it would be even more. Yeah. So, yeah. So, but then you see, when the war came,
uh-huh.
all they would have to sell that one thing for a bag of rice.
Yeah.
You keep it or you start.
So a lot of those jewelry and heirlooms in your family, and do you think
gone.
All gone because of the war?
Yeah, because of the war.
Yeah.
All gone. This is my grandmother.
Oh, okay.
And when I look at her, I see myself. She's the there's a cousin who lives in the next block.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, you did.
And then my cousin who lives in town and me, we look so much like her.
Yeah.
She was a very proud woman, very stately, like a matriarch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she held the purse strings. But then you see, everything, the material things are just transient, right?
Yeah.
They don't last forever. So the values that we are taught by the older people,
mm-hmm.
and then our teachers, they are what last.
Yeah.
Nothing else lasts. You know? Everything else passes away. So then I told you about that one. Ah, there's something interesting I would like to tell you about the Filipino community at that time. You know, I was saying that I don't remember anyway, the Filipinos gathering, for a special
holiday or something.
Holiday or celebration of some event. Except one, I remember this one. It was celebrating the Philippines Independence Day. You know?
Uh-huh.
And it was held at City Lights Cabaret, where City Bayview is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. City Lights used to be one side, Piccadilly. Mm. The other cabaret was called Piccadilly. And those, at that time, those were the in places, mm-hmm. the happening places, mm-hmm. you would say. They were cabarets,
mm-hmm.
you know. And obviously on the other side was Ieno. Ieno was where all the grand balls were held, you know. And the rich and famous would go to, huh? And these two places were, well, entertainment for the local people. Mm-hmm. So we had a gathering there. I can't remember the year, but old enough to remember that I was there.
Yeah,
you know.
But somewhere in your childhood?
Somewhere, perhaps when I was about 9 or 10 years
old.
You know? And Piccadilly and City Lights were still there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, gradually, as time changed and other forms of entertainment came in, these two places closed down. And they were very quaint buildings. They were those buildings that were built on higher ground. They were on stilts.
Uh-huh.
Like, not very high, but you know, and there was a lot of space under.
Yeah.
And they were wooden buildings.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it is something that is in my mind because it made an impression on me, those places. So that was a good thing.
Yeah.
So it gathered me.
So what was that? Who organized it?
My father organized it.
Oh.
And
uh-huh.
we had quite a few. There is a photo, but I cannot find it.
Yeah.
I can still see in my mind that picture, the group picture taken in front of City Lights Gallery. But I cannot find it, not right now. I hope it pops up one day.
Yeah. How big was the group who came? How many people came?
I was too young to really know the number of people. All I know was it was celebrating Philippines Independence Day, and there was a pretty big crowd, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pity that not many people have, or rather my father didn't have enough photos to.
Yeah.
Because at that time also, people had no money to buy cameras.
Yeah.
Very few people had money to buy cameras.
Yeah.
You know, not like the way it is now.
Yeah.
So you hardly took pictures, which is it's a pity.
It sounds like your father kept in touch with a lot of the other Filipinos who had moved to Penang, but your generation, not as much, because they were all dispersed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because as we grew up, I guess, you know, because we went to different schools and so on, and there was nobody sort of formed a club or society or something whereby we could come together, even just to socialize.
Not even church?
Church, yes, but
Did the other Filipinos go to the
Catholic
church?
But most of them, because I was telling you earlier, that quite there was one big community, pretty big, I would say, in Transfer Road area.
Okay.
And then, other than that, perhaps some were in Green Lane area, some were in Pulau Tikus, and then just here and there. So very few came together. In Assumption Church in town, there were a few, but I didn't know them.
Mm.
You know, my family didn't know them. And then...
You guys didn't go to Assumption Church?
We went, but my father was never a church goer.
Ah.
So, and my mom was not one to go and just like... She was a very, I would say, reserved person in that sense.
Uh-huh.
So she would not like after mass, check here, go here and check to that person. Not that, you know?
You said your father wasn't a church goer?
No. He was a Catholic.
Yeah, but he didn't go to mass?
Like...
That's so fascinating. So your mom had to bring off you?
Yeah. Initially, he did when we were younger. You know, he and my mom would bring us to church. Then as we grew up, he just stopped going.
Yeah.
But I guess in his own way, he did pray and he did believe.
Yeah, of course.
But he just did not go. And that's why I never kept in touch with the other Filipinos.
Mm-hmm,
And the thing is, we were too few and scattered. Some also went up, living up in Ayutthaya area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and at the time, there was transport, but not that.
That great.
That great transport. Many, very few had cars. So to come together was a bit... presented a few problems, a few difficulties. And was there anything else I wanted to tell you regarding... I did mention about the
diamonds.
The Daimaru that was formerly White Ways. That was something new to me too. I found it, you know, when this lady told me, oh, Daimaru was formerly White Ways. Oh, then I had a good look at the picture. Oh yeah, that's right. That's the building, all right.
Yeah.
Have you heard of White Ways in Penang?
No, I haven't.
Now it's not T&M. It was the biggest department store. Mm-hmm. Say like the mall and so on now.
Yeah.
But not a mall actually, it was a department store.
Yeah.
So on every floor they had something different. And that's where they sold things that catered to the British.
Yeah.
In the way of toys, clothing, household goods. And for us, who couldn't really afford to go inside there.
So it was a higher end.
Yeah, it was a higher end, visited by the British and the rich.
Were there imported goods from Britain that got sold to the British here?
Yeah, the goods brought in from England
and
sold to the British, to cater to the British community here. And we only had the pleasure and the excitement of visiting White Ways once a year at Christmas. It will be beautifully decorated, and my father would take us, whatever it was, he would find the money to bring us there to buy us each a present once a year. And we used, I don't know about my younger siblings, but I used to find it, like in fairyland.
Yeah.
The decorations up there, and then, you know, all things English, typically English. And then also, they used to sell, materials for making hats. That's where my father used to go and buy the veil. You see the veil that my mom wore on the hats? He used to get them from there. The veils and then, not straws, but veils and... flowers and so on, all the materials for making hats.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have lovely curtains. And what I admired most at that time was the chinaware.
Mm.
The tea sets, the coffee sets. Mm-hmm. I used to love them. Mm-hmm. Till today, I love English countryside.
Mm.
Scenes of English countryside, English gardens.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something I grew up with.
I'm wondering, you have three children, and what, I guess it's interesting because they are Malaysian true and true. When you were raising them, I guess, did you try to pass on any of your father and mother's culture onto them?
Well, the Chinese part of it, they automatically were part of it because we lived among Chinese people.
Yeah, yeah, in Penang, yeah, a lot.
But Filipino less, not so. Yeah. My father, that's why I say he was the only family. He had no family member here.
Yeah.
I mean, other than us.
Right.
With whom, you know, we could converse and find out more about Philippines and who would tell us stories about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they don't have that. What shall I say? Not only interest, like it's like they were not exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not exposed to it. Even my younger siblings.
Yeah.
You know,
they
knew nothing about the Filipinos at all.
Yeah.
And also, when they were teenagers, they had already gone overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So they are more into the culture of those countries they went to.
Yeah.
You know, except for the youngest.
Yeah.
He's very interested in finding out more about the Philippines.
Yeah.
And he had that opportunity in his work when he used to call in at those in the Philippines.
Yeah.
You see, that his work brought him there. And he found himself that, oh, I'm in my roots.
Yeah.
I'm at my roots. And he's the one who keeps in touch with the other family members. Cousins, and he's the one who arranged a trip for us.
Yeah, you went on that trip to the Philippines.
We went. That was a very good.
It was put on by the Philippines government. Or
the Philippine embassy in Malaysia. I think, well, the in cooperation with the tourism industry, in this ministry department in the Philippines, and that I felt was something this President Ambassador did, which was really very encouraging to us, and also to give us a chance to go there. Not only those of Philippine descent, Filipino descent, but other people, like as in those who have intermarried with the local people, most of them. So we have a chance to see what the Philippines is like.
Yeah.
Like my siblings, on their own, they will never go to the Philippines.
Yeah.
They don't know any of the cousins,
uh-huh.
Except for this one, this eldest one who passed away.
Yeah.
And that, they met him for the first time when my parents celebrated their golden anniversary.
Yeah.
And that was all.
Yeah. Right?
So going on that trip was a good thing.
Yeah.
So we managed to meet as many cousins who would come.
Uh-huh.
And took two of them arranged to have a gathering. We went to visit two families.
Yeah.
And that was the only time we met our cousins.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been there before, so there were a few that I'm familiar with. Being the eldest, they also knew who I was. But the others, they were the first time that they met, and they probably won't meet again.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because the younger generation, as you come down, they're all in busy about their own lives.
Yeah.
And in fact, most of them who are in the Philippines now, my cousins, quite a few of them have migrated to the US.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they themselves, I don't know about how their community is there. But, you know, we don't meet, that's all.
Yeah.
So we don't know each other.
Yeah. Did all your most of your siblings marry non-Malaysians, right? Is that right?
Nope. Two of us are married to Malaysians. The others,
your youngest brother.
Two married British, two married Aussies.
Yeah.
So that different culture. Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
They grew up in that.
Yeah.
They went there when they were young in their just after school. They had formed their career there and they just carried on
Do you remember why they left Malaysia to go to do schooling abroad? And
no, they were the girls who went to those who went to England rather to pursue nursing, because at that time, like I think I mentioned earlier, the careers that were open to us that were, I would say, I wouldn't say suitable, but what is the best option for those who could not afford to either pursue professions like doctoring mm-hmm. or engineering, any of mm-hmm, those mm-hmm. where you had to study a long time and mm-hmm. spend a lot of money. So nursing, and I also mentioned teaching,
yeah.
where when we went into it, we helped to ease the burden, financial burden of the family mm-hmm. because we were given allowances
mm-hmm.
by the government.
Okay.
Really? So that was a big help to the family already.
Yeah.
And we are not the only ones. Many, many of my friends, you know,
yeah.
my people in my mm-hmm. age group and all that, and maybe about 5 years older and 5 years younger, that was a... And it was... teaching and nursing at that time, I felt, were very noble professions.
Yeah.
It still is. But at that time, we looked at it with pride.
Yeah.
You know, to be a teacher, when you say you're a teacher, you're looked up to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get that respect.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, I would say nine and a half out of 10 who went into the either nursing profession or teaching profession came out good teachers and nurses mm-hmm. because we were very well trained. No
yeah.
nonsense thing, no slacking, nothing. You were always kept on your toes.
Yeah.
You pull up your socks or you get up.
So the best nursing programs were abroad, you were saying that's why your siblings left?
Not necessarily, because they went there because they wanted to go, that's
mm-hmm.
all. They just wanted, you know, to venture out on
yeah.
their own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've done well so far.
Yeah.
They've been 3/4 of their life they've lived there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it hard that most of your siblings are not in Malaysia?
No, we meet often.
Yeah.
We meet often. Yeah. So it's all right. And I think this one is, I think many people, you don't know whether to laugh at it or to take it seriously. Absence makes a heart grow fonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it was a good thing because we grew up with our own values. I mean, we were had grounding from our parents, from the school,
yeah.
the nuns and the brothers, you know. And carrying these values to where they went,
uh-huh.
they could look after themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They knew how to live their lives right
mm-hmm.
and how to apply it to their daily life, to their work.
Mm-hmm.
To their studies, and I won't say work at the time, to their studies and becoming good nurses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, efficient, good nurses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, now they're all retired.
Yeah, yeah.
We are all retired.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
I can't think of anything else, especially regarding the Filipino community. I did write down a few things here. No, I don't think there's anything else new that different there. If I can recall. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. What about food? Ah, let me tell you something about food. The hawkers. Would that mean when we were kids, there used to be this man, the man who sells what we call nasi kanda.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it called nasi kanda? Because the man who used to go around selling this used to carry the food on this stick called a kanda stick.
Yeah.
It's a nice big long stick. And then he would have the two is where on either end, and he would go around
yeah.
the neighborhood selling
yeah.
it, you know? So that's why it was called nasi kanda. And then we used to have this, now of course we still have some vendors, street hawkers going on, huh? But they go on motorbikes and so
yeah.
on. But these people used to walk. Then there was the kueh man,
yeah.
the man who used to sell nyonya kueh. and the Penang Laksa. Again, he would carry on this kanda stick, eh? All the kuih in layers stacked up, the nyonya kuih, what they call nyonya kuih, and then the laksa and the curry and all. And it goes from house to house selling that. So that's why when we were staying in down in Penang Road, our place was a meeting place for all these people, you know. And we never had to worry about going out. My parents never had to worry about us going out somewhere to buy all these. Eh? So these people would come, and then you'd have office people at that time who used to pass by.
Yeah.
They would come, pop in, stop by if the man, the kuih man was there, and they'd come in and buy. So our place was like a little market.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There was that man. Then there was the man who used to sell nougats. Mm. A big tray. It was, we call it the Ting Ting Man. He would come and it was in a big slab, and if you wanted it, he would have his little chisel, knock into it, break it up into small pieces, 5 cents, and you get one big bucket of it. Then there was another man who used to sell, this was another Ting Ting Man also, like we call him. All these kiam sweetie things, you know, all these sweet sour kanas and all that. All the pickles. Now when I think of it, how do we eat all that and survive?
So delicious but unhealthy.
Oh my God, I think about it. I tell you, at that time, health authorities who came out would definitely have just confiscated everything. But we bought it. And the man selling it too, now that I think about it, those at that time, these push cart vendors, they would wear this that white t-shirt, singlet.
Yeah.
And then they would roll the singlet up the back. And then, whether their hands were clean or not, we didn't know. We just bought and we ate and we survived.
Yeah.
That was another person who went around. And then there was, at night, there would be one man who used to come around, Indian man, selling putu piring.
Oh, uh-huh.
Putu piring. Carried it on a big tray on his head, walking around, Indian man. Putu piring. Then there was another man who used to go around selling bubur cha-cha.
Mm-hmm.
What is the green pea one? The green one called?
Bean soup?
Not bubur cha-cha. Lek tau, we call it lek tau. With the pulut. So, you know, our place, that area, we were never short of all these knickknacks. And then my favorite was the rojak.
Mm.
Rojak. Every afternoon, the guy is sure to come in around 1:30 or so. And then rojak was so good and so cheap for 5 cents, 10 cents.
Wow.
You get a whole lot of it, and then, you know, we'll eat, and then halfway through the sauce is gone. Can you add a little bit more? And he would add. For that, you know.
Yeah.
And it was so good. And these people, these vendors, they were very, I think, they did business, but they were not like, what's the word for it? They were friendly. They wouldn't mind giving you a little bit extra.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good.
Those
were some of the vendors who used to come around selling in our area.
Yeah.
Then there was another man, roti. They called it the Bengali roti. You didn't have to buy a whole loaf, you know.
Uh-huh.
He would come with a big thing, and then, you want 30 cents or how many cents, or 20 cents or 10 cents, and he would cut it.
Uh-huh.
And with that lovely kaya. They are reviving it now in several shops, roti and kaya.
Yeah.
This Bengali roti toasted with this kaya, this special kaya. Not what you buy in the packages, no? That seems to be coming back with kopi o, black coffee. That was another interesting thing, which is, now that I look back, wow, it was such a treat then at the time.
Mm. Yeah.
And another, since it slipped my mind, I was going to say another. Ice ball. Have you ever tried ice ball?
Yeah, they have it on Armenian Road now, but I don't know how much it is like.
Where?
In town. They sell the
ice ball.
Yeah, with the syrup.
Is it in
on
town?
It. Yeah, but I'm not sure how close it is to the what it was like back in the day.
The one we used to buy from
was now they have even Ribena flavor.
Of course they did back then too. They had to introduce new flavors.
Oh right, right.
But at that time, it was either red sugar, brown sugar.
Oh.
Brown syrup.
Yeah.
Almost like sassy.
Or
red syrup.
Yeah.
You know, and some milk.
Yeah.
So there was this stall at the side of the Odeon Theatre. Uh-huh. The Odeon Theatre is still there. There was a lane. There's a lane there. And there used to be the little hawkers that used to be there. The ice kacang man. And he used to sell fruits also. The man who used to sell sotong bakar. Mm. I think it was an Indian man. I can't remember now. And you get the tendrils, roasted. And then he pounds them, you know. 5 cents. The cheapest 5 cents one piece. The sauce was so good. And then you men selling kacang, the steamed kacang. And then one would be selling sweets. So this man selling ice kacang. My sisters would walk, me sometimes, walk all the way from our house to Odeon, buy an ice ball for 5 cents.
5 cents, yeah.
If you wanted kacang inside, if you wanted red beans, boiled red beans, red beans inside, it will be 10 cents, one ice ball. So we buy the ice ball, suck it along as we walk to another end of the Penang Road, come back, the ice ball is still there, go back to him and ask, can you please add some sugar? And he would do it. Those were the thrills, well, the simple life, the simple enjoyments we had, and it was very good. You don't get that now.
You're 70-something, right? And you've been in Penang your whole life. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've had opportunity to leave, but you didn't have to stay, but you've stayed.
Mm.
What do you love most about Penang?
I just love the whole place. I feel so comfortable in right now with all, of course, we have a lot of other I won't say problems lah. The new
developments.
The new developments and all. So transport is one thing. Traffic jams and all that. But I just love the place. I feel comfortable. It's easy to move around. You know, I have a friend who lives in KL. She was a Penang person. Then she moved to KL. But she would come back to Penang to do all her shopping.
Mm.
Shopping as in buying of dry ingredients, the food stuff for the kitchen, for cooking.
Yeah.
And then repairing small items. You know, she says in KL, if I wanted to repair, for example, my kettle, to have it welded or something, I don't know where to look for a welder.
Yeah.
I would have to go all the way down to Petaling Street or wherever and get into caught in the jams and all that. She brings everything back to Penang. And it's cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, you still have these old, tradespeople, who are still around, some, not many. Yeah. But you can still find somebody who can do some these little things for you.
Yeah.
But not in a busy place like KL. But Penang, to me, it's just home. It's just home. I have lived in a few other places on the mainland.
Yeah.
Just not comfortable.
Yeah.
Just not comfortable about it.
Yeah.
Here, of course, food-wise, food is the biggest attraction. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You just walk out, you want your char kway teow, your curry meal, and it's authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? All these little things.
Yeah.
I guess for everyone it's different. But to me, Penang is home.
Yeah.
Penang. Even my siblings who have gone overseas, when they come back to Penang, they feel so happy.
Oh yeah.
It's home, they say. They are already domiciled in those countries for 3/4 of their lives.
Yeah.
But when they come back to Penang, they feel it's home.
Yeah.
They feel comfortable. They are like at one with Penang.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for letting me talk with you.
You're most welcome.
Yeah.
you might need people.